Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Affair with Ikara Freeman. If you play this podcast, your life will be better. Last month was New Zealand Music Month, which we at The Affair embraced all the way throughout. Take a listen to the podcast over at joy.org.au/theaffair. One of the most powerful and influential voices of New Zealand music is Tiki Tane, who I had the pleasure of talking with today. My first question to Tiki was about his arrest for performing F the Police by NWA in Palmerston North. And I heard that you do a mean version of I Shot the Sheriff?
Yeah, it was actually two cities. The first one was in Tauranga, where I was arrested for singing, performing NWA's Fuck the Police. I was handcuffed, arrested, thrown in jail. And then, of course, I pleaded not guilty. And the police, at the end of the day, dropped the charge for... I was fully within my rights to be able to perform that song, and they kind of got it wrong. So it kind of blew up in New Zealand and around Australia. And then I did the same thing again in Palmerston North and almost had the same problems, except this time I wasn't arrested. The police went to the went to the media and tried to make a scene in the media. But once again, the charge wasn't even laid. It was dropped. So it brings up a really good issue back in New Zealand about freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And so that's why I wrote the song Freedom to Sing. And that's why I also, in that song, incorporate KRS-One's Whoop Whoop, That's the Sound of the Police, and also Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff.
Yeah. You can handcuff me and take me away, but you can't take my freedom to sing. You can drag me down to prison today, but you can't take my freedom to sing.
So yeah, it was an interesting trip, tell you what.
Well, do you think you're ever going to do a controversial covers album? Because you certainly have got a good amount. I mean, I've heard you even do a very good version of Smack My Bitch Up.
I haven't done that version for a long time. But, yeah, I like to perform songs like that every now and then. Those songs, you know, as controversial as they are, I just like to be able to perform those songs. And it's a real shame that some people, especially the police, find it offensive and want to make a deal about it, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm fully within my rights to be able to perform those songs, and it's a shame that they take it the wrong way and try to make something out of nothing, you know what I mean? So, yeah, maybe I'll do a covers album that's not really on the radar, but yeah, good idea.
Fingers crossed. Now, In the World of Light took your sound to a whole new level. What was it like making the album?
It was awesome. I guess the first album that I came out with as a solo artist was Past, Season, Future. That was very experimental, as in I really wanted to push my Māori culture and the stuff that I had within me. And then the second album, In the World of Light, I really wanted to go more off in an electronic direction. Experiment a lot more with the dubstep and drum and bass and mumbaton and just crazy tribal stuff. So it was heaps of fun. It was I had nothing to lose, and I wasn't bound by any record label. I'm an independent artist, so I own everything. I own my own record label, so I had no one sitting on my shoulders going, telling me what to do. So it's a really artistically creative free for all. So that album sort of came out of that, really. So it was heaps of fun to make, for sure.
Well, did you feel that you had somewhat matured as an artist with the second album?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't think anyone immatures with their albums. I'm not too sure about that. But, yeah, I definitely just get older and wiser, I guess, and experimenting more. And the more you travel the world and hear different music and be immersed in different cultures and races, and you learn a lot more, so you try and put that into your music and art, yeah. So in that regard, I guess, yes, I matured as an artist, even though I still definitely feel I'm 18 years old.
No subestimes a esta bicha, aunque tenga poca chicha en la cintura. Anda, quítame la envoltura y ya verá, ya verá. No, no, no subestimes a esta bicha, aunque tenga poca chicha en la cintura. Anda, quítame la envoltura y ya verá, ya verá.
In many different ways. Well, actually, talking about the whole international side of it, La Bicha dub. Now, how did you come across the original song La Bicha, and what inspired you to put your own spin on it?
BB is, she's like a Spanish superstar, man. She's amazing. And I was given the opportunity to do one of her remixes for her, and then we just stroke up a bit of a relationship there, and that's how that song came about, La Bicha dub. And she's an incredible artist, and once again, for her, it was pushing her out into a different genre as well. I kind of made it a kind of dancehall, ravey dancehall thing. So that was really fun to do, and to work with somebody of her caliber, because she's like a superstar in Spain, and the Latino community. So it was really cool to knock around with her and make some music.
Well, who's your dream collaboration worldwide? I mean, worldwide and in New Zealand.
I really dig Kanye West production. I really dig Burial. I really dig Tool, even, you know. So I'm across the board. I'm into all sorts of stuff, you know, and I'm just really into working with anybody who's on the same level as me. Is just about making music. It's not about the royalties or about who owns what. It's about just making music and art and seeing what comes out of that process. So, yeah, man, I mean, of course, you know, I've always been a Prince fan. he's pretty amazing, but, you know, that like that's ever going to happen, me and Prince.
I say it will. I think it will happen.
You're very kind, but I don't think it.
I reckon you'll get him out of that Minneapolis castle that he lives in. Now, on this tour with you and Optimus, what can people expect here over here in Australia?
For sure, man. I hit the stage and do about an hour 20 on acoustic guitar. But when you think of acoustic guitar, you think of some dude sitting down on a stool, singing quietly and strumming away. Well, that's not what I do. I've got a loop pedal, I've got a delay pedal, a distortion pedal, a pitch shift pedal, a wah pedal. And I plug my guitar into that, acoustic guitar into that, and I make all my live beats using my acoustic guitar as a drum. I loop up the drum beats and I play over the top. It gets really loud and raucous and sonic. So when I do the acoustic thing, my whole vibe is to try to rock the fuck out of the house, you know what I mean? I try to rock a house with the acoustic guitar, and it's a really good challenge, and I love being able to turn everyone's perception around about acoustic guitar, you know what I mean? So I do that for about an hour 20, build it up. I play stuff from when I was in Salmon Out of Dub. I play the stuff I've written. I play a few covers that I've done, and then a few experimental things. And then I segue into Optimus Grime, who brings out the dubstep, the drum and bass, and the trap, and the morbiton, and the crazy electronic stuff. So... We got a good 2.5 hour show from start to finish. It's high energy. I bring everybody in with the acoustic, make people sing along, have a good time, and then we smash it out at the end with the ravey, dancey stuff. So it's there's something in it for everyone, and it's heaps of fun. I love it.
Now, when can we actually expect a new studio album from you, though?
I have a, well, Shapeshifters just finished their album, so that's been, I'm on the road with that, doing New Zealand, July, Australia, August. I have a live album that I recorded for String Orchestra that comes out in September, and I'll be touring that for Australia next year again, so that's really exciting. I've never worked with an orchestra before on this scale. So that comes out in September in New Zealand, and then hopefully later on in Australia. So you've got to wait till then. I've got a my acoustic album, which is still in the pipeline. So, yeah, I've got things coming out left, right, and centre.
You certainly do. You're very fruitful, shall we say.
Yeah, I just like to keep busy and keep going, and I like to be involved, you know what I mean? It's a really cool lifestyle, and once you hit that momentum, it just doesn't seem to stop. And working with bands like Shapeshifter, I've been their permanent sound engineer for 14 years. I'm involved in some of their studio albums as well by doing the mixing, the live dubs, and the effects. So being involved with them keeps you really busy as well, and then finding time to do my stuff. So it's a full-time thing. So, yeah, hold tight. September, the live album with orchestra, and then next year I'll hopefully release the acoustic album.
Now, one of the things that I mean, with all that stuff going on, do you like travel with like your own little studio, or like how do you actually get all your beats prepared, or how do you do your creative stuff when you're on tour?
Yeah, I've got a little setup that I take with me on the road. It's just very small and really really portable, but my main studio is just out of Auckland, and I try and hit there a couple times a month, and so I sort of base my life's broken up into three things. It's basically touring on the road, or making music in the studio, or being a dad with my son. So I try to make sure those three things all kind of are in sync and are aligned together. So that's these days, man, you can make music anywhere these days. I mean, I've seen dudes make music on their iPhones, you know, it's crazy.
I came to the GC for the money, chase their dream. And the aunties, no matter who they are, could be old, young, banging, ugly, no matter if it's good or not.
Well, one last question, and this is probably the most embarrassing one of them all. Have you watched the GC?
I have, actually.
Is it good?
One of my best friends produced it.
So you can't really say anything against it, can you?
No, I can. I can see both sides to it. Okay. I can see how people can get really frustrated with it and get really anti it. But I see the positive, and the positive is, okay, you got these young Māori dudes that go to Australia and actually doing really well and making a proper living and actually doing really well. The opposite of that is imagine having a show, a TV show, that's the opposite of that, where you show a bunch of Māori dudes who are third-generation mongrel mob gang members who are stealing, drinking, selling drugs, getting up to mischief, and basically being violent. So so the positive side of the GC is that, you know, there are people are actually living their life and actually trying to give it a good go. So I can't say anything too bad about it. I've got to say, well, it's a positive look on TV as opposed to the other thing that I just said. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And also, I guess one very final question then is there any chance that we're going to have a Tiki Tane Tour 2013 documentary? Because, I mean, it sounds like you've got an amazing life going on with you when you're on tour.
Yeah, well, this live album that I've done with the String Orchestra, that was all documented, so that's going to come out as a DVD as well, and that's behind-the-scenes stuff. That's pretty cool. And definitely, man, I'm always filming little bits and pieces here and there, some pretty crazy moments. So one day I'll definitely release something that's like, you know, on the road, behind the scenes, the grit and the grime of the rock and roll lifestyle, you know what I mean? So that, I'm sure some people will think it's pretty cool to watch. It'll also be a little bit, might be a little bit embarrassing for me, because there's probably some really horrible, awkward moments there, but that's okay. People love that kind of shit, don't they, when they watch TV?
Well, Tiki Tane, thank you so much. And listen, I look forward to seeing you when you play in Melbourne.
You're welcome. Thanks for ringing, man.
So, take care.
See you, bye-bye.
The Affair with Hikaru Freeman. This is a podcast saying, play me one more time, please.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.